wise to listen to them. If Simon says to do something, you better do what Simon says. I love the movie Hamilton, the play Hamilton. I think it is absolutely fantastic. I listen to the soundtrack all the time. And one of my favorite songs is called The Room Where It Happened. And it's about Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and Alexander Hamilton getting together over dinner to plan the future of the United States. And in it, there's this repeated line that just keeps saying, Thomas says, it is so catchy. Sing it to myself all the time. And you know, there are some people who, when they say some things, we are pretty wise, pretty smart to do what they say. Our founding fathers, I think they said some pretty important things that we today are very wise to keep in mind in all we do. And today my sermon is called Isaiah Says, because I want to talk about the words of the prophet Isaiah and what they mean to us during this Advent and Christmas season. For Isaiah is a voice that speaks to us, that frames, that paints the picture of who Jesus is. Isaiah was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah from about the year 740 to about the year 690 BC, centuries before the time of Jesus. He was a priest in the temple going about his duty until one day in the year 742 BC, he had a vision in which he was taken up into heaven. And God called him to be a prophet of the Lord, and he spent the rest of his ministry, the rest of his life, as a servant of the Lord, as a prophet. But many scholars today think the book of Isaiah is actually divided into three separate books of prophecy. There's the historical prophet Isaiah, whose sections probably make up chapters 1 through 39. Isaiah is the biggest prophetic book in the Bible. It has 66 chapters. And then there's this second prophet. We don't know his name. He's just called Second Isaiah. And he proclaimed God's words to the captives when they were in Babylon after the fall of the nation. Words of hope as they were about to be freed and sent home. And then we think there was this third prophet called Third Isaiah, who prophesied to the people of Israel after they had come back to their homeland, after they were trying to pick up the pieces of their lives that had been shattered. Isaiah was immensely important to the ancient people of Israel. In fact, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered about 60 years ago, the most important of all was a nearly complete copy of the works of Isaiah, an almost complete copy of his book. So important was it that those people who had it, they buried it to make sure it would be protected. And for us as Christians today, going through this season of Advent, getting ready for the season of Christmas, we need to know that Isaiah played a huge role. He was an enormous influence in how the very first Christians saw the coming, the birth, and the life of Isaiah. Our lesson today is from Romans chapter 15, and in this chapter, Paul writes about the importance of the ancient scriptures, and in Paul's day, nearly 2,000 years ago, Isaiah was one of those important ancient scriptures. He says, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And he goes on to talk about the importance of Jesus. He says, "For I tell you that Christ has come as a servant to the circumcised, to the Jews, on behalf of the truth of God." But then he also reminds his readers that Jesus came for the Gentiles, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And to show how Jesus came for the Gentiles, Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Isaiah says," hence my sermon title for today, "the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope." The root of Jesse. So what or who was the root of Jesse? Very simple. It was King David. His father's name was Jesse, and he is known as the root of Jesse. The Messiah, the people of Israel believed, would come from David's family. And we all know the story in Luke, the story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem for that census. Why? Because Joseph was of the house and the lineage of David. You can see how the importance of the Old Testament scriptures helped shape the story of Jesus. You see, Isaiah's words are kind of a Merry Christmas gift to all of us to help us understand Jesus. The gospel writers, they turn to Isaiah repeatedly for help in trying to make sense of Jesus. For them, Isaiah's words were a source of inspiration and encouragement as they shared the story of Jesus with the rest of the world. And let me just give you a whole bunch of examples. John the Baptist. Today, traditionally on the second Sunday of Advent, we hear the story of John the Baptist. The very ministry of John the Baptist finds its roots in the words of the prophet Isaiah, because it's Isaiah who declared the words that Matthew uses in his gospel, that a voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John was seen as a prophetic voice finding his roots in Isaiah, who prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah, who got the people prepared and ready for who Jesus was and what he would do. But there is a lot more of Isaiah in the stories of Jesus' birth. Isaiah, I like to think, is kind of like a Christmas gift to you and me. When we open up Isaiah, we see the Christmas story. It's in Luke's gospel that we hear the story of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, who, when he was told that his wife would have a child and he didn't believe it, he was struck dumb. He couldn't talk until his child was born. And when the child is born, he is suddenly able to speak again. And what does he do? He proclaims these beautiful words about who his son would be. He would be the one to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And where did Zechariah get those words? From the prophet Isaiah. The very famous passage about a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. That comes right out of Isaiah. The beautiful words we hear every Christmas Eve, the inspiration for the words of Handel's Messiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," explaining who this one who is to come will be, Isaiah chapter 9. You ever wondered why the wise men bring gold and frankincense? Is it because that's what all they had at the 7-Eleven on the outside of Bethlehem when they showed up late that night? No. I bet you know where the gold and frankincense come from, don't you? The prophet Isaiah, who hundreds of years before Jesus was born spoke of those who would come from the east, who would bring gifts to the light of the world, and they would bring him gold, they would bring him frankincense. The myrrh that they also bring is a foretelling of Jesus' death, when his body would be packed in myrrh as he was buried after his crucifixion. But it all comes from Isaiah. In Luke's gospel, there's the story of the old man Simeon, who, when Jesus is brought to the temple when he's 40 days old for a ceremony to dedicate him to the Lord, when Simeon sees Jesus, he takes him in his arms and he sings, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." And Simeon's words are also couched in the prophecies of Isaiah. But there is still more, because Isaiah shapes the ministry of Jesus as well. In Luke's gospel, in the 4th chapter, when Jesus begins his ministry, he goes back home to Nazareth. He goes to his hometown synagogue. He's given the scriptures. He opens the scroll and he reads these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Okay, Lutherans, anyone want to guess where that comes from? Anyone want to take a shot? Jeremiah, of course. No, it's Isaiah, of course, of course. It's Isaiah chapter 61, where the prophet talks about the one whom God will send, whom God will anoint. And at the very end of the gospel, in Jesus' death, there too we see echoes of the words of Isaiah. Because in Isaiah 52 and 53, there is this song to one called the suffering servant. We don't know who this servant was. Isaiah doesn't tell us. But here is what he writes about this servant. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we were healed. And the very first Christians saw in those prophetic words clear, clear, pointed references to Jesus' death on the cross. Isaiah is important. Isaiah is important. The words of this ancient prophet, they were a powerful influence on the gospel writers and the first Christians. And they're still a powerful influence on us today. In Romans 15, what does Paul say again? For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. These words are helpful to you and me. And what do these words give us, do for us? Well, Paul gives us a whole laundry list that I'm going to go through one more time as I wrap up my sermon today. These words, they give us steadfastness. They help us as Christians to know what we believe is true, and we can stand and we can base our lives upon it. These words of instruction from the ancients, such as Isaiah, they give us encouragement. In this world where it is so easy to be overwhelmed and dragged down, to get down in the dumps, the words of Jesus Christ, they encourage you and me. They bring us hope, which we talked about last week. Last week as I lit the candle, I remembered the words of Titus, from Titus, where Paul talks about the blessed hope we have in Jesus. These words, they enable us as Christians to live in harmony. As Christians, we're called to get along with one another, to support one another. This support in harmony finds its basis in the words of Isaiah. And they enable us to glorify God. The words of the prophets are all written in poetry. The song of Simeon, the song that Mary sings, the song that Zechariah sings. They are all songs, the poetry and praise to God. When we sing to God today, we continue the process of glorifying God through Jesus Christ. In a number of our hymns today find their basis in the words of Isaiah. And finally, the words of this ancient prophet, they help us to welcome one another as God has welcomed us in Jesus Christ. Christmas is a time for getting together. It's a time for welcoming. It's a time for opening our doors and having others come into our lives. We as Christians are called to live each day, not just in Advent and Christmas, but each and every day, being welcoming in the name of Jesus. So as I close today, just remember Isaiah as a Christmas gift that we open. Keep that in mind and in your hearts this Advent and Christmas. Say a prayer of thanks to God for Isaiah and the powerful influence he continues to exhibit 2,700 years after he wrote these words. And above all, my friends, thank God for servants like Isaiah. And thank God for servants like Isaiah who have helped shape servants like you and me. May we truly walk in his ways. May we truly walk in the light of Jesus. May we give thanks always for what God has given us and the one who was born in Bethlehem.